Are you a part of God's family? So you're not to have a practice of sinning, right? Then look what else he says. For God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot get his hands on them. Let's read that in the King James. I want you to see, in the King James, it's a little tougher to grasp. First time I read it in the King James, I thought, wow, am I really a Christian? We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now see, here he didn't say, you don't practice sinning. In the King James, he said, as a child of God, you ain't supposed to sin at all. Now that's a little tough one, isn't it? Is that what he says? We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Well, how many of you in here know beyond a shadow of doubt you're born again? You're born of God? If you're born of God, then the demands of our Lord, according to 1 John 5:18, is that we sin not. Is that what he said? We're not to practice sinning. And then it says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself from what? From sin. And if you do that, then that wicked one cannot touch you. Is that good news? So, if you look at that in the way it's written, God is controlling the devil, and when you walk in obedience to his word, the devil may be over there saying, I'm going to get CE today. But the Lord says, he reaches over and grabs him by the nape of the neck and says, devil, come back over here. That's right. You can't touch him. Is that what he's saying, CE? You can't touch this young man because he's walking obedience to my word. Now then, if the devil says, oh, God, look at old CE over there. Oh, look at this line of sins. Lord said, I know he's got a pretty good one there following him, doesn't he? Yeah, let me go get him a little bit. Okay, you can go get him. And so he puts a hurt on him, and he don't like it. Well, see, before I understood all these principles, one day after I received Jesus as my personal healer, and I'm walking in divine health, a man walks into my office and hands me a piece of paper, and he says, Thurman, have you read this fax? I said, well, I don't know. Let me see it. He handed it to me, and I read it. It says, if certain things were to happen, we might have to close the engineering division. I'm director of engineering. I've got a good job. You know, I travel around all over the United States. I keep things in order. I got a bunch of men working for me. I got a fairly good salary. I get furnished a pickup, all expenses. I love what I do. And I put God first in all of this. But when I read that fax and it said they might close the engineering division, all of a sudden I realized I might be out of a job. And I'm probably 50 years old or something back in those days. 45 or 50. And so immediately, the first thing comes out of my mouth. Gee, if they were to close the engineering division, what would happen to me? Who am I trusting as my provider? Man, am I not? Sure, I'm trusting man as my provider. And who am I supposed to trust as my provider as a child of God? The Lord. Supposed to trust him. Now, by making that statement, I committed a sin. That was a sin. I'm not trusting Jesus. I'm trusting the world. And immediately the devil was right there. And here I am, just as dry as I am right now, perfect health, and in one heartbeat, I went to a splitting migraine headache. And sinus fluid ran out of both nostrils down over my lip, over my mouth, before I could get a Kleenex to grab it. And the man that handed me, he said, wow, what happened to you? Did a river break loose in your head? Well, that's exactly what happened. How many of you know what did happen to me right there? What did the evil one do to me? He came into me. I sinned, and he's sitting right there with his fiery darts drawn, and the minute I sinned, he came in. Now then, I'm afflicted. Well, I realize what I've done wrong. I'm smart enough, and I've studied the Word of God enough to know that I've just opened the door to the evil one, and he's just come in. Because God said in his Word that the evil one could not touch me, that he would take away how much sickness and disease if I obey him and everything? All. So now then it's hit me. I know I've done something that doesn't please God. Now I know, and I know exactly what it is. So I immediately say, Lord, as soon as that guy left, I said, Lord, I repent. I repent. Lord, I don't care what this company does. They can close this thing down if they want to, but I know you're going to take care of me. I am so sorry that I didn't trust you. But Lord, I want you to know I trust you with all my heart. I don't know what you're going to do here, but I know you're in control, and I have no fear. I said, now then, Satan, I have repented of my sins, and I command you to come out of me in the name of Jesus. And he didn't come out. My headache was still there. My faith wasn't near as strong as it needed to be. So in the course of that day, I'd walk somebody and say, wow, your nose sure is right. I say, yeah, I'm trying to kick that devil out of me in the name of Jesus. Oh, they say, this guy says, give him a little space. This guy's got a problem. You know, when you start voicing things like you're trying to kick the devil out of yourself, people think something wrong with you. It's like when you said, get away from me. You knew what you were doing, did you, CE? But they don't understand what you're doing, do they? And so I come home that night, and of course, my first wife, Betty, she was still alive back in those days. That was before she got killed in the car wreck. And she said, wow, have you got an attack from your allergies or sinuses? She said, let me get some medicine out of the medicine cabinet. I said, no, I will take no medicine. I said, I'm going to kick this devil out of me. I sinned, I opened the door, I let him in, but I said, I'm going to drive him out in the name of Jesus, and I ain't going to take no medicine. I'm going to show no unbelief. Now, the church has trouble going here. But that's okay. I've experienced it. I've lived it. I know what works. So I rebuked the devil, commanded him to leave, and he wouldn't leave. So by the time the third day was there, my wife said, you have lost it. I need to make a doctor's appointment for you. This is getting worse every day. I said, no. I have opened the door to a demon, and he's come in, but I have repented, and I'm going to drive him away without any medication. I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. So I wouldn't take anything. Well, the fourth morning, when I get up, I mean, I woke up that night and I couldn't even open my eyes. That old brown fluid had run all out of my head on my pillow. It was in my eyes. I couldn't see. I had to get up and warm water, wash my face and everything. I'm mad now. I'm angry at the devil. I know he has no legal claim to me. But yet he continues to antagonize me. I ain't going to put up with this much longer. But we as Christians, we're too soft. We just put up with him. The devil just comes and does things to us. We just back off and say, okay, Mr. Devil, go ahead and do it to me. He says, I will. I'm going to do it to you good. But I wasn't going to let him do it to me. So I begin to quote scriptures like Mark 16, 17, and 18. Now, I want you to see these promises. Mark 16, 17. When you go to Mark 16, 17, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. The average Christian don't believe they can cast out a devil. In fact, when I first asked my Baptist preacher if it was possible for me to have a demon, he said, absolutely not. It's impossible. You cannot have a demon living in a physical body where God is. But I found out he was wrong. He was wrong. You can have all kinds of demons. Now, I will have to say, since then, in the last 30 years, I have cast demons out one at a time, 5, 10, 20, 50, 100. But last year, or year before last, I guess it was now, maybe 2 years ago, in Silver City, New Mexico, a little 40-year-old woman, perfectly normal, except she had a gnawing in her stomach. When I finally found her sin and began to cast the demons out of her, and these demons really manifest in her, when I asked how many of you are in there, they said 2,823. 2,823 demons in one moment. It took me 7.5 hours to get that woman delivered. I fought with those devils for 7.5 hours. Cheryl was there. Dave was there. We were all there fighting these demons together. And we finally got her free. But, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now I want to know, are you a believing believer or an unbelieving believer? You better be a believing believer, right? It did say these signs. It didn't say these signs shall follow all Christians, did it? It said these signs shall follow those that believe. In other words, if you believe you can cast out a devil, you can cast out a devil. If you don't believe you can cast out a devil, then don't go mess with them because they're going to hurt you. But if you know who you are in Christ, and you know that this book is God's Word and it's His owner's manual written to you, and you believe that you can cast out devils, you can cast out devils. Then we go to Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. We go to Luke 10, 19 and 20, and I want you to see this. Now then, that fourth morning, when I'm on the way to work, I'm quoting all these scriptures. I'm quoting the book and the verse and the chapter and everything where these things are found, and I'm reminding the devil who I am and that he has no power over me, because look what Luke 19 and 20 says, "Behold, I've given you power to tread on the serpent and his scorpions." Now, who do you think the serpent is? That's the devil. Who do you think his scorpions are? The demons, that's right. And over, what's that little three-letter word? I love that, don't you? Especially when it's in my favor. All. Now, if he says, "I judge all sin," and you got a lot of sin in your life, then I don't like it. But I know that he's not a funny God. He does things truly, and he says, "And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits," or the evil spirits, "are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." What does it mean that a demon has to be subject to you? Yeah, they got to do what you say. In other words, when my son was growing up, when he was a little guy, or my daughter, I'd say, "Son, take the trash out of the kitchen and put it out in the garbage can for Mama." "I don't want to do that. I don't have to do that." That's all it took. When I got up and walked over there and swatted him on the backside about two times and the eyes opened up, I said, "Now, I said take that can out. I mean take it out. And if you don't do it, if you ever do me that again, I will treat you at least three times as tough as I did this time. Now you're going to obey me?" Man, he's crying. He goes out there. Next time, Mama says, "Son, take the grass out for me." Guess what? Ooh, he's right after it. It didn't take but once or twice. Now, of course, as my son got bigger, he told me this, "Dad, you were too soft on me as I was being raised up. If I ever have children, I ain't going to be near as soft on them as you were on me." Yeah.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, "Declare Your Faith and Redemption from the Curse," or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.